Tonight, Seattle Opera opens its new home, McCaw Hall, with a production of Richard Wagner's Parsifal. Over the past two decades, Seattle Opera has gained an international reputation for its Wagner productions, especially regular presentations of the composer's epic four-opera cycle, The Ring of the Nibelung. Most observers credit Seattle Opera's reputation to the company's general director, Spate Jenkins. Marcy Silman of member station KUOW has this profile of the man some people call the P.T. Barnum of opera.
Spate Jenkins has been hawking opera for 60 years, ever since he heard his first Metropolitan Opera radio broadcast at the age of 7.
I just loved it completely. Thought it was fantastic. Can't help it, it was a weird thing to do, but it was what I liked.
In 1940s Dallas, like many other cities, there probably weren't too many 7-year-olds who shared his passion. Eventually, Jenkins left Texas to study medicine in New York.
The Met was there. That was all I went for. I flunked out of medical school because I couldn't do that and go to the opera all the time. I did graduate from law school because I could do that and go to the Met all the time.
Even during 4 years in the military, Jenkins continued his love affair with opera as host of a regular opera broadcast on Armed Forces Radio. After his discharge, Jenkins found a job writing for the monthly magazine Opera News. He was also a regular guest on Metropolitan Opera broadcasts, hosted the PBS series Live from the Met, and lectured nationwide. That's how Seattle Opera's board of directors first met Jenkins in 1982. The company was looking for a new director, and a board member invited Jenkins to speak to the search committee.
I didn't know what a search committee was, and I didn't ask. I just said, okay, they want me to talk about opera, I'll go and talk about opera. So I went out, and I talked about opera for 3 hours. They asked me a million questions. And at the end of which, she turned to me and she said, as I remember it, we, or as she remembers it, I think you should try for this job yourself.
Jenkins did, and he got it in 1983. 3 years later, he produced his first Ring cycle. Despite his warnings, audiences who came expecting to see the traditional bearskin-clad singers wearing horned helmets were appalled when the curtain went up on a stark set that featured carousel horses as the Valkyrie's steeds. Spate Jenkins says he got hundreds of letters.
Some people calling me the Antichrist and other people saying this was I'd brought art to Seattle. The important thing about it was that it caused people to talk about the opera and made the opera an important figure in the Seattle arts community, which it had not been before.
And Jenkins has worked hard to keep opera on the tip of everyone's tongue ever since. To that end, he grants every interview request and lectures after every Seattle Opera performance, even the 5-hour-long Wagnerian marathons.
This is the way I work. I am willing and eager and thrilled to give from 11 o'clock in the morning until 1 o'clock the next morning, 7 days a week to the opera company, but don't ask me to breakfast.
You can take him out to a ball game. Jenkins has even managed to use his favorite pastime to promote his passion.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light?
3 years ago, when Seattle Opera was about to premiere a new Ring cycle, Jenkins arranged with the Seattle Mariners to have one of his stars, Alan Woodrow, sing the national anthem.
For the land of the free. And the home of the brave.
Now opera divas regularly perform at Safeco Field. English soprano Jane Eaglin will be there later this month. She says that's just one of the reasons Seattle has the largest opera-going population per capita in the nation.
I bet that if you went up to 100 people in the streets of Seattle and asked them, 80% of them would know something.
Eaglin moved to Seattle in part because of the opera. So did director Stephen Wadsworth. He calls Spate Jenkins a throwback to the era when opera impresarios were larger than life and got involved with every aspect of their companies.
There's so many people in this business who are sort of not socialized You know, people want to sit behind their desk and sort of cast The Barber of Seville. And that's their idea of, like, you know, what it's all about. Speight is, he's like some crazy lady in a grape vat, you know, stomping his feet purple in every area of the company's life.
That includes the finances. Jenkins admits that when he took the job, he had little grasp of how to manage a budget. Several years into his tenure, Seattle Opera was mired in debt. Jenkins was forced to ask a bank for a $1 million line of credit.
The banker looked at me and said, if you were anything else, we would have closed you down long ago. And I said, well, we're the Seattle Opera, and you will never close us down.
He says it was a humiliating experience he will never repeat, and he hasn't. This year, Seattle Opera was the only major arts organization in the city with a balanced budget. Jenkins also spearheaded the campaign to build the new Macaw Hall. This week, he watched final rehearsals of Parsifal, whispering notes for the staff and cast. Parsifal, Speight Jenkins realizes his dream of producing all 10 of Wagner's major operas in Seattle. Now he's decided to take on contemporary opera. Coming up in mid-October is the world premiere of Morning Becomes Electra by Marvin David Levy. Only one thing could mar that occasion for Jenkins, if his beloved Seattle Mariners make it to the World Series.
Well, that will be a problem, won't it? But a nice problem. I mean, we have a great opera and a great baseball team. And
he diplomatically declines to say which he'll attend. And he has some advice for the Mariners. Work on the hitting. For NPR News, I'm Marcy Silman in Seattle.
And this is Weekend Edition, produced by Mark Rosenbaum, along with Ed McNulty, Darcy Bacon, Diana Douglas, Carrie Thompson, Andy Lyman, Sasha Coca, Julia Bailey, Janaea Williams, Bridget McCarthy, Sarah Byer-Kelly, and Charlie Mayer. Our technical director is Burke Hunt, so ably assisted by Arthur Halliday Laurent, Sherry Marshevsky, and Johnny Vince Evans. Our librarians are Kim Mileski, Holly Witt, and Alphonse Vinn. NPR's executive producer for weekend programming is Paul Brown. Weekend Edition senior producer is Gwendolyn Tompkins. And our senior producer is Peter Turnpike Breslow. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.